Well, Bishop Sheen tells the story of these 30 lumberjacks up in Canada that all decided to go to confession for the first time after many years. So they all show up at the church one night and they line up before the confessional. The first fellow goes in, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been over 25 years since my last confession." And the fellow says, "I think I've broken every commandment. I've committed every sin in the book." And the priest says, "Well, did you kill anybody?" And the lumberjack says, "No, you're right, Father, I didn't do that." And the priest says, "Well, you better go back out and examine your conscience better." And so the fellow leaves the confessional. He looks at the long line and says, "It's no use tonight, boys. He's only hearing murder cases." Well, in a few moments, we'll be talking about the benefit of confession in helping us get rid of sin, to cut out sin from our lives. But before we do that, because that's one of the main messages in today's gospel, is how to get rid of sin. But first, there's a few other things that are covered in today's gospel from St. Mark chapter 9. And it has to do with, the first point is that John, the beloved disciple, comes up to the Lord and complains that he discovered somebody casting out demons and doing exorcisms in the name of Christ, but he wasn't part of the apostles. But he was obviously being very effective. He was doing exorcisms, casting out demons. And John, the beloved disciple, the brother of James, known as the Sons of Thunder because of their zeal and their impetuousness. You see why he's called that in today's gospel, because he told the fellow to stop. He said, "Stop doing that. You're not part of our group." What does Jesus say? "No, let him do that. No one can perform mighty deeds and at the same time speak ill of me." In other words, he's on our side. He's doing good. "For whoever is not against us is with us." And so that's the first point in today's gospel, and has to do with, I think, how to work with others. It's called ecumenism. And this is a wonderful thing that we have in our Catholic faith, is that we work so often with other religions, other denominations, on very good and important causes. Think of homelessness, how we're trying to help the homeless. I think of every year we have the Hypothermia Week, where our church opens up Farrell Hall for a whole week for the homeless, to get them off the street, to give them shelter, to give them food and clothing, and to give them a safe and warm place to sleep during the middle of the winter. And we do this with other religions, other denominations. Everybody takes their turn. It's a wonderful example of working with others. We think of places like, and helping take care of the poor, the food pantries that we work with other denominations on, or the crisis pregnancy centers, or the homes for young mothers, the prison ministry that we often do. And I think of the pro-life work or other denominations or religions that are trying also to strengthen the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the family, and respect for life from the moment of conception. So these are all wonderful examples of those that, even though they're not part of our particular parish or church, they are working for good. They're working for Christ, and Jesus says they are with us because of that. The second point in today's gospel talks about heavenly reward. And he says, "Anyone who gives you a cup of cold water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, will surely not lose his reward." What an interesting thought that is, that just doing an act of kindness can really have a heavenly reward. Of course, in those days, to get somebody a cup of cold water was a lot more difficult than today. They had to maybe walk miles to the well. They had to carry these large jars on their head, walking in the 100-degree heat to the local well. They had to have a long bucket with a rope to be able to draw the water, that cold water deep into the earth, to draw it up. They had to put it in their their large jug and then walk all the way back a few miles just to give a person a cup of cold water. It was an act of love. It was an act of service. And Jesus says, if somebody does that for you because you belong to me, Jesus says, they will not lose their reward. The third message in today's gospel has to do with scandal and not leading others into sin. And Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, who are the little ones? Well, it could be a child, a young person. It could be a new believer, somebody that's a brand new Christian. Whoever causes another person who believes in Christ to sin, in other words, leading somebody into sin or maybe scandalizing them, it will be better for him, for that person who did it, if a great millstone were put around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. Jesus talks about the great millstone. In those days, there were two different kinds of millstones. One was the handheld millstone, used mostly by the men and women that would be grinding up the grain. And it was, again, made out of limestone. But that's not the one Jesus is referring to. He talks about the great millstone. A great millstone was about the size of a large truck tire, but it was made entirely of limestone, very heavy. It weighed, I'm not sure exactly how much, but it needed about four men to be able to lift it up into this particular area where then the donkey would be made to walk around, and this great millstone would grind the grain into the wheat. So that's the millstone Jesus is talking about. And he says, it'd be better for that person who leads another person into sin if they were thrown into the sea with a great millstone around their neck. Now, what is the Lord referring to? Well, obviously, physically drowning is a terrible form of death. But what's even worse is being separated from God for all eternity in hell. That's worse than any form of earthly death, to be separated from God for all eternity. And so that is, of course, what we refer to as hell, eternal separation from God. And then the last point Jesus makes is about sin. And he says that we must go to any extent to cut sin out of our life. And he uses this hyperbole, this example, that if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into life, eternal life, which is heaven, you know, with one hand than to go to hell with two hands. And he says, to go to Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. Well, what is Gehenna? Well, it's a name used for hell by Jesus. Gehenna was actually the large trash heap on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's where they took all the trash from the city of Jerusalem and dumped it into this large area, this valley of Gehenna. And that's where they would burn the trash. And because of the continual fire, the continual flames, the terrible smell, the wailing of the dogs that would roam the trash heaps, that this was an image Jesus used to tell people a little bit of what hell would be like. This unquenchable fire called Gehenna. And so Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, you know, usually we take the Bible literally. When Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, we take Jesus literally. But if I ask for a show of hands, I would say none of us take this literally, right? Because all of us have our hands. Well, what does it mean? And obviously for 2,000 years, the church has never said we should take this literally, to cut off our hands or our foot or our eye. It is referring to cutting out that sin from your life. The church is against self-mutilation or hurting one's body because it's the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But let's say a person's hand leads them into sin by stealing. Well, obviously we don't cut off the hand, but you cut out the stealing. That's the point. But if a person's foot causes them to sin, how could a person's feet cause them to sin? Maybe they walk into places they should not be going to. For example, if somebody has a drinking problem, they should not be walking into the bar, you know, if that causes them to sin. Or if a person's eye causes them to sin, well, how could that be? Well, maybe through jealousy, through envy, through lust. Or if a person's mouth causes them to sin by lying, or a person's ears causes them to sin by greedily listening to gossip. So we don't, as you know, cut off the hands and the feet. That's not what Jesus is referring to. But he is saying to cut out the sin from our lives. And Jesus says, go to any extent to get to heaven. And that means to make sacrifices, make any sacrifice to get to heaven. And a good analogy, I think, about sin is that what cancer is to a person's body, sin is to a person's soul. And if somebody, let's say, has a cancerous tumor, what do? You go to a doctor, and hopefully they can do surgery and remove that cancerous tumor so it does not spread to the whole body. Well, this is what we do when we go to confession. Confession is surgery for the soul. Confession, when we go to confession, confess our sins, receive good advice and absolution, it's like a doctor, a surgeon, cutting out a cancerous tumor. And then, after that is removed through absolution and confession, we still need a spiritual radiation or chemotherapy to get rid of the remnants of those sins. And that's where daily prayer comes in, or the rosary, or going to Mass, receiving communion as often as we can. This is the healing that our soul needs. So Jesus is saying, of course, it's worth anything to be able to get to heaven. And so, obviously, don't physically hurt yourself. That would be wrong. And the church has never recommended, in fact, it's condemned any kind of self-mutilation. But it does recommend following Jesus, where he says that we have to cut out these sins from our life and the occasions of sin from our life. So as you know, confession is not just about murder cases. It is about how to cut out any kind of sin from our life.